Anyway, Gian's still alive. There's a wasp trying to get in my flipping gaff off the balcony. Oh my God. If that comes over to me while we're recording, yeah, please allow me if I spaz out.
If you scream.
It's like flying into the window.
First of all, what the hell is a wasp doing in January?
I don't know. Is it a wasp or a bee?
Either. They don't live in January.
Either way, I've got a phobia.
Or whatever they do.
I've got a phobia of wasps. Anyway, we're back in the building.
Proper random hot take here. You just made me think this.
Come on.
Right. I don't even really even want to say it out loud because I can't be bothered to get into it as a topic. But I'm just going to say this as a hot take. DJ Khaled killed Mavado's career.
Why?
Because since Mavado signed to We The Best, what happened to him? Where did he go?
Nowhere. Two stories. Shit, I forgot about that, actually.
Bruv, he was the king of dancehall.
Has he not been dropping no rhythms now?
Well, he's been putting like very, very, very mediocre music out.
Oh, but
he was the man.
Yeah, I tell you what, yeah, this is also a bit of a hot take. New dancehall is whack, yo.
Yeah.
Compared to the old stuff, like when I go into dancehall mode now, it's class. You're running the classics, isn't it? And you're going, and I'm digging backwards. The new stuff ain't really doing it for me. Like, why have half these reggae artists started doing like reggae trap and that, bro?
I don't know. Like,
Wagwan. It's lost its way a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know,
it?
Bro. It's, you know what? It's really mad because even like a lot of the new rhythms, I don't really even. So I used to listen to dancehall like every single rhythm that dropped, every single one, I would listen to every cut on the rhythm. Like literally, it was like a full-time job.
all 70 of them.
Well, honestly, and 95% of the songs were going in the bin.
Yeah,
but you'd get that 5% of the rhythms and stuff that would be sick. And then you'd get single cuts that would just be hard. But I can't. Hang on. All right, let's play a game.
This is a great start.
The last big dancehall tune for you?
Jesus, I wish I had my DJ laptop right now. You can't ask me this now, bruv.
I'm saying Crocodile Teeth.
Yeah, that was a big record, but... Bruv, come on. Crocodile Teeth was a shit song, man.
For
me, bro. Do you think anyone knows Wagwan after the first two lines of that record? Come on, man. I'm being serious. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's a good record. It's an okay record, but
no, don't backtrack now. You've said it. Say it with your chest.
I'm saying it with chest, but now I'm just saying it's an okay record. That's still a semi par.
Yeah,
It just didn't do it for me, bro. Like it's, and I feel. How many times you played that in the dance and it like semi deads it a little bit? Like unless you've got a heavy little dancehall contingent in the dance. Like, that record is not doing it. I feel like it's one of them songs that people just ask for the sake of it. Kind of like, it's about as whack as the little Uzi joint. Nah, joke. Nah, that's definitely a lie. It's definitely a lie.
Little Uzi's is worse. The one that I don't like is Wap Wap. Skilly Bing, Wap Wap.
Yeah, that's another one that just goes Wap 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 Wap. And then it dies.
Yeah, chorus. Not even chorus. Half the chorus. Everyone gets gassed for some reason. I don't know why they get gassed. And then that's it.
Because they just want to make funky noises in the dance, bro.
Even let it run into the verse. Because if you run into the verse, they're standing still. But that is a shit song. But Crocodile Teeth slappeth. Obviously, when was that one? Was that?
Nah, like, it's okay. 2019? It's okay, bro. But you know, I think I have a different ear when it comes to this new school music, man. I don't know. I came from a time when dancehall was like joyous and energetic and vibey and just sounded like summertime. And I mean, you listen to it and you just feel like you was in yard, man. Like, I don't know. The new shit just ain't really doing it for me, bro. But again, personal opinion, probably going to get shot down for this. But
my favorite era of dancehall was when Vybz Kartel and Mavado were at it.
Yeah. That was a good time still. That was a good time.
Vibes that was amazing. You could even run like proper hard rhythms even like the non-girly ones, and the whole place would go off.
Yeah.
Anger management rhythm. Sizzler, no way. No way. Do you remember tunes like that? That was that era, bro. Like, playing that.
I'm still running like Taxi Fare and all them ones, Champion okay. and that, bro. I'm still running yeah. the old schools, bro.
Oh, like proper like 90s
yeah,
dancing.
Yeah, bro. I'm still going back, me, bro. I can't even lie.
I do that too. And actually, you know what? How did we even
I
get
don't
to
know what I got, Champion. Talk like a champion.
This does not part of the plan today, but playground rhythm, you know, Beanie Man, Who Am I?
Yeah.
Is going off.
Dog goes
with
off
the
now.
Younger crowd. No, with the younger crowd, I'm really noticing, like, I'll play it, even like in a student, in like a predominantly white student party, I'll play Beanie Man, Who Am I? And it goes off. These are like 18, 19 year olds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Timeless.
It's been sampled a couple of times, that rhythm, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm talking about specifically like the lyrics.
Who am I?
Even the first part where he sings, Who Am I? Like everyone sings it, even if it's not like a black music party.
Yeah, I hear that. Dance up, bro. Anyway. Listen, I was a dancehall guy growing up, I was heavily into reggae, man. I loved it. Like, and I've slowly, like, as I've grown and like Afrobeats has come through, what I feel about Afrobeats now is what I felt about dancehall back then.
Yeah,
like the energy, around it, like just the feel good vibe. Like, I don't know, man. Like, there's just that's how I feel now, innit? But yeah, new school dancehall in the mud, fam.
In the trenches.
So that was a great intro. That
anyway, yeah. So there's a couple hot takes there, and where is Mavado?
That's a good question.
where is he? You know, the phrase that's been, you know, we've so anyone listening, Stylus and I we've got shared notes in the phone. So like we just bounce topics of each other, stuff that we want to chat about. And there's one word that's been in the notes for quite a while, which has now come into context. Something all DJs can relate to, vibe killers.
Vibe killers.
Vibe killers.
I was in the notes at the same time as you the other night, yeah. And I could just, because obviously you can see when someone's typing.
Yeah.
I just see Mega Karen start coming across the screen. Yo.
I was in the club at the exact time I was writing that, yeah. Because, yeah, we came across a Mega Karen.
A Mega like Karen, the final boss, Karen. You know. The final boss in the race.
Definitely one of the boss levels. And she came up, it was one of them ones. I was waiting to start my set. So I was stood in the DJ booth and shout out to DJ Eli, the guy who's DJing before me, is playing some cold Amapiano piano remixes. And there was this Mega Karen. She even had the haircut and everything. You know, like the short hair bob just under her ears. And she was with her mates. Her mates were dancing and she was stood still. You know them ones? She was stood still looking at the DJ
arms folded, staring.
She was looking at the DJ box, right? And I'm stood behind the DJ. She made eye contact with me and did this. You know this one?
What, the throat cut?
The throat cut with the hand.
The chop.
She cut the throat with the hand, right? And I stared at her. I just, emotionless, just stared. And then she did this one. You know the next song where they roll the two fingers?
Yeah.
Next song.
Keep it moving.
I'm not even DJing at this point.
It's Karen sign language, that.
It is. And anyway, so I'm not even DJing at this point. So she stood there, she's staring me straight in the soul and she's willing the next song to be played. And and then anyway, it wasn't like the DJ did his thing. He was just mixing at his own pace. And you could see she was fuming, bruv. Anyway, about 10 minutes later, she came up with the next move. She had Spotify open on her phone.
Oh no.
And she came up, screen brightness on 500,000, so it can burn the retinas out the back of my eyeballs.
There's a lot of flashlight in your face.
It's basically all the power of the sun emitting from her phone is straight into my eyes. And she had some song on Spotify. Not only had I never heard of it, I couldn't even pronounce the words if I wanted to, bro. It looked Welsh. There was no vowels. There was no vowels in this word. And anyway, she just held it up, burnt my brain with the screen brightness. I mean, I just looked, and I'm still not DJing at this point yet. I just looked, and I'm just like, I don't know what that is. And she's like, it's reggaeton. I was like, okay.
Oh, the reggaeton requests.
It's reggaeton. It wasn't Bad Bunny, by the way. She goes, it's reggaeton. I was like, oh, okay. She goes, play it.
Play it now.
Play it. And I was like, well, I'm not actually DJing, but when I am, I don't have it, so I can't, sorry. And then that was it. Like, I saw a little bit of smoke come out of her ears.
Oh, my days.
She stormed back to her friends. Anyway, 10 minutes into our set, I destroyed the Mega Karen, and she was dancing her fucking heart out. That's how you kill a Mega Karen.
That's how you kill
a Mega Karen.
That's how you kill a Mega Karen.
That's how you destroy a Mega Karen, is by shelling it regardless and making her dance.
That's how you beat the final boss, bruv.
I've done it.
You completed the game. I've
now completed DJing because I destroyed a Mega Karen.
What's your process when you have a Karen in the dance like that and she's doing the cutthroat and all? Like I go on a mission to wind them up even more, yo. I'm just like, if they're like next song, I'm letting that song run to the third verse, mate.
Yes, and then you know what?
After I'm letting the it third run.
Verse,
take that.
After the third verse,
take that.
I'm pulling it up, and I'm gonna play it again. And I'm going to look her straight in the face when I do that. I'm just going to push the cue to boop, straight
it's the,
back
it's
to the
worst thing you can do, man, because it's like, if you do that, like, I'm going to stress you just to prove a point. Like, it ain't about you. Yeah. And like, now I'm going to let this song run all the way. And you're going to take this song. You're going to take it all in. Every verse. Every crevice.
Every crevice. There's so many things that they do. They've got so many weapons. One of them is, can you play something we can dance to? It's like, well,
it's the worst.
Yeah, that's
the most basic one, but it's the worst one.
That's kind of my job. That's what I'm doing. Yep. Like, just because you can't dance to it, it's not my fault. Like, the whole rest of the room, I'd get it if everyone in the room was sat down and it was looking like a school.
Worst thing is, they can't even dance, these Karens. So it's like, play something we can dance to.
I was playing Burna Boy the other day, and one came up and went, oh, can you just play some Afrobeats or something?
Oh, my God.
Like, and I was playing a Burna Boy tune in the middle of an Afrobeats set.
Oh, snap.
Like, can play some Afrobeats or something? What's another one? Oh, can you, they'll do the request 15 times, yeah, in 10 minutes. And then they'll come up and they'll go, can you hurry up and play my song? We want to leave.
Yeah, sure. I'm just going to play it right now so I can empty the club. So you can all just leave, like, as quick as possible.
Hold on. My job's to keep you here.
I don't think they actually realize that. That's such a backwards thing to say. Oh, yeah. Play it now. We're getting off. Yeah, sure.
Play it now. We need to leave. Play it
coming
now.
Right up.
No, okay. I'm going to play it in 2 hours. If you're going to wait for the song, then I'll play it in 2 hours. But then actually, depending on how persistent, I might just play it now. Just the chorus, just so you do fuck off.
I wonder what goes through people's minds. Yeah. I start an early set on Friday sometime in Manchester, a place called Terrace. It's a nice little chill spot. It gets lively later on, but you start at like 9. So like for the first couple hours, I'll be running like classic hip hop, smooth R&B, just like nice chill stuff, bro. What goes through man them's heads when they're coming up at 9:15 asking for a little Uzi? There's no one in there yet, yeah. There's like 15 men in there. There's a couple people still. You still got the after work crowd in there having a little glass of wine with the mates and that. It's not even the turnover's not even happened yet for where he goes into like night mode. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I play this track now, what are you gonna do? You're gonna start backflipping. There's no one in here, bro. Like, I don't understand the process, the thought process, like, of why you're gonna start running hits.
At
that time.
I feel like people come to the club, a lot of people, I even do this if I'm going out as a customer, yeah, I think people come to the club with a song in mind. There's always a song that you want to hear.
What, you do that?
If I go to a club, yeah, and the DJ, if I have a certain song in my head and the DJ that's playing doesn't play that song, I'm disappointed. I actually leave disappointed.
Wow.
I think a lot of people have that mentality. Maybe. I don't know. I'm basing it off of myself, so... Maybe that's it, but I just think...
Yeah, but the timing, though.
General
I've not even finished setting up yet.
They don't really understand the structure of a night, though.
Yeah, I hear that.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear that. To be fair, when it first started, like now that we've got some consistency there and I'm forcing like the way I do my set, and now people are starting to understanding it and they're willing, and like now they're willing to wait and they get what I'm doing, and it's more of like an experience. It's a 5-hour set, bro. It's the only place where I really play that long.
Yeah, and of course you don't repeat songs. So exactly. This is the thing, is like, I think for non-DJs don't understand that we don't repeat songs as well.
Yep.
So like someone will come up and they'll say like,
oh no,
it'd be 10 p.m. and they'll be like, oh, can you play, I don't know, what's the biggest song in the world right now? This is usually what you see. I can't even think.
Also, I hate the same song. Thing.
I can't even think right now, but they'll come up at 10 o'clock, ask for Lil Uzi. And then my response, I mean, I don't play that song, but my response would be, yeah, I'm here till 3. Like, I'll play it later on when it's busy.
Yep.
But they don't seem to understand, well, can't you just play it now when it's not busy?
Yep.
And yeah, actually, you know what? There isn't a massive problem. If they are literally the only exception I do make is if there's a group of them and they are literally the only people in the club.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
Then yeah, I'll run a few of their requests, regardless of whether I'm going to play it later, because you know what? They're here. They want to have a little turn up first. So I will. Reluctantly. I will do it reluctantly, because it actually sort of messes up my mentality as well. Because it's like, I like to warm up to things. I like the early hours to be like my
I like structure. Yeah. Like if I go off the structure, then it starts messing around with my whole set. Like
yeah.
My mentality changes then. Like I need to stick to my structure, man. And I take pride in the warming up, the middle section, the end section. Like I want it all to run smooth, man. And like when you complete a full set from start to finish like that, and the whole night's run smooth and it's lit, like, bruv, that shit is not easy, bro.
No, it's a great feeling. It's funny we're talking about this, because this exact scenario actually happened to me on Saturday. A group of 6 girls came in. Literally, the doors were open. It was 10:30. And they came in for their birthday celebration. They were the only people in the room. And then one came up to the DJ box and she's like, oh, can you just play loads of Cardi B? Can you play WAP? And I'm thinking, well, I will play it, but not until like probably 2 a.m. Now, it's half 10 at this point, and I realized they're not going to wait patiently till 2 p.m. 2 a.m., sorry.
Yeah, they're not.
And so I just thought, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to run it now. I'm just going to play it now. I'll play it later again. I don't care. So I played it specifically for them. The next one came up.
Oh, my
and
God.
She goes, yeah, I like this song. Can you just play loads more slut music? Yeah, now I wasn't quite prepared for this, so now I need to make a slut music crate.
Oh, do you not have one?
I don't.
I have like a strip club crate where it's like all
slut music. But you
yeah, because I play at Cirque in Manchester, yeah, and like they have like sexy slutty dancers, bro. Like they do crazy shows, crazy stage shows. Yeah, they go ham in there. So like you need a crate. So when the gal get up on stage, man would just draw for the slot crate, basically.
Yeah, I'm interested. I want to see, not now, obviously, but I want to see what's in your strip club crate.
Do you know what's mad, but when people ask for requests, though? You know what the sticky one is? When they ask for one, and then that is it, the floodgates are open. That song finishes, the back, in seconds.
Yeah.
They're straight over, and then you got to let them know. No, you only get one credit. That's my rule. One credit per person. Or if they come over for a second one, it needs to be special.
Yeah, the annoying one is if they're really persistent and annoying with their request, and then just as you're about to play it, they come and ask for it.
Yep.
Because now it's like, oh, I was just about to play it, but now if I play it, you're going to think I've played it because you persistently asked me forever. You've just asked me again, and now I'm going to play it. So now that's going to condition your behavior. And now you're going to just be relentless with it.
Do you
lie? That's possibly how Karens might be born.
That's how we spawn Karens in the rave, man. they'll just respawn. You take one out and another one just appears on the edge of the booth.
You play one Karen's request and she's no longer a Karen. She's fine. And then another one just appears. It just generates.
Do you lie to these Karens? Like, are you one of them people where they ask for a song, right? And they'll if you're not gonna play it, you say yeah later on or whatever. Like, I'm so no. blunt with that, I'll just be like no, yeah. and then they'll look at you like what, and they'll be like, did you not hit me the first time?
I'm actually,
It's a no from me. I'm like Dragon's Den, mate.
I'm out.
It's a no from me. I'm out.
I'm actually brutally honest when people request stuff.
Yeah, same.
I even give my opinion on the request.
Yeah.
They don't ask for it. But like someone asked the other day, what did they ask for? Cheerleader. Oh, do you remember wow. that song?
I like, I'm actually, a cheerleader. That one.
That's not even a bad record. But at the time, I don't have it. And I just wasn't in the mood for it. And she asked for Cheerleader. And I just went, no, sorry. That song's dead.
The thing is, if you're not honest with these people, you're actually bringing more hassle onto yourself.
I'll play it
in a bit. Oh yeah, maybe. No.
Just know if there's any non-DJs listening, if you ever ask a song and the DJ says, I'll look and see if I have it, it's a no. Every DJ knows every single song in their arsenal. Literally, they know, and the good ones even know the BPMs of every single song off by heart.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you can say any song to me, I know whether I have it or not. Mm-hmm. And I've got 54 billion songs on my laptop, bro. 800 million terabytes of music.
I definitely couldn't name all the crazy edits that I've got. Look, I got so much.
your diary's mad though.
I got so much daftness in mind, Jesus.
You know, the thing about vibe killers for me, like the ones that kill the vibe are the ones that don't dance.
Yep.
You know, you get the people that stand and stare.
They're the ones that don't even get involved and they're all entitled and they don't even frigging dance, bro.
Like, but they just stand.
Stand and stare.
And for some reason, male or female, they're always the tallest fucking person in the room as well. So they stand out like a sore thumb. And that's it. I'll be vibing. I'll be having the best time. The whole club's going sick. Everybody's jumping. I'm just absorbing the energy and I'm just going off. And that energy is giving me more energy, which is giving them more energy and giving me more energy. And then I see a face. Just static.
You can feel them staring even when you're not looking at them. It's like you can just feel it.
Stood still, emotionless, like a mannequin. And that's it. All of my energy is sucked straight into their void.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm just like, oh, this is shit then.
I hate that though, man. When the whole dance floor is engaged and you just got like one or two that'll just do that. And it just like, that throws off my energy, man. Like, I don't know why that is. It definitely throws off. And even there'll be like 98% enjoyment. And then you'll have these two people and sometimes they'll stand next to the booth and they'll stare at you on purpose, like to try and throw you off.
Yeah.
It's mad. So what I've learned to do over the years now, if they stand there staring at me, I'll make it look like I'm having the best time ever in the booth. And I'm not even acknowledging their existence. They move on in 5 minutes then. If you stand up there looking under pee, like you're engaging in them, or you can see them like they're staring you down and they're giving off some bad vibe, then they'll keep persisting with it. If you just ignore them, don't even give them the time of day and keep enjoying yourself, engaging with the people that are enjoying it, whatever, they just move along. They'll just move along naturally in the end.
Yeah, that's, I need to take that on board because I'm quite bad. Like, not so much if it's a girl, but if it's a guy, I end up in a stare off.
Oh my God, this
like, we end up accidentally squaring off with each other across the club.
That is amazing.
If I lock eyes, I'm not letting go. Like, I'm not looking away. I'm not looking away first.
Doubles in there, and now like staring. Is that a boxing fight, yo?
Bro, honestly, I don't know what it is. It's so weird. But this is another reason why the vibe just goes, because suddenly if someone's there, they might not even be meme mugging. Like, they might just be literally just sat there emotionless. They're not maybe having a great time. Maybe they're having a great time, but they just don't dance because those people exist.
No, it's true.
And then suddenly I'll look eyes with them and they're just staring like.
I think so. Do you know what's mad? Yeah. Sometimes it can be like that. And like, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Whenever I've been to like, I DJed in Qatar. One time, yeah.
Sick.
And like, I think Dubai is kind of like the same. And you're looking out in the crowd and you're like, people are having a little dance and that, but like, there's a lot of people staring and they're not really like out here like, yo, getting lit or whatever. And I'm thinking, shit, are these man even digging my set? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't, like, am I doing something wrong or whatever? End of the night, they'll be clapping and that. Oh my God, amazing and all that. And like some people just take it in different ways. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I think in the UK, people do just stay down and a bit moody sometimes. But I've definitely had them crowds where I'm thinking, shit. At the end of the night, they're like, it's the best thing ever to them. And I think, okay. And this kind of made me realize, like, maybe sometimes people just engage in music in different ways, isn't it? Some can just be listeners. I'm not really out here throwing themselves around, cutting shapes or whatever. Like, there's different ways of taking the music in. I fully hear it, though. But in the UK, Karen, bad vibes, man. Ultimate Karens everywhere.
Vibe killers.
Vibe killers. This is a great subject, you know. We could do a whole episode on this.
Yeah, a whole episode. The other type of vibe killers for me, luckily, actually, this doesn't happen. This hasn't happened to me, touch wood. It hasn't happened to me for a very, very, very long time. The other vibe killer for me is if a manager comes from the club and tells you to play something or tells you not to play something.
Yeah. That kills me off.
Especially when I used to play like open format sets and stuff and they would come up. If I'm just, I might just be in my rap bag right now. Do you know what I mean? Like running the tunes.
Can you just throw some house in there, please?
Yeah. Maybe I'm going a little bit trappy. But regardless, I maintain everyone will have been having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not that blind to whether people are having a good time or not. And then, like, a manager, he might be a bit of a house head. He might be a fan of house music. And he comes up, he's like, can you play something a little bit more housey?
Yeah.
Like, we need some more house music. Like, what? Bro, I don't tell you how much to charge for the drinks. Like, go and do the club manager job. Leave me managing the music, because that's my... I mean, I've never actually said this, because it's quite important to maintain good relationships with club managers. But in my head, I'm telling them, bruv, fuck off. Go and make sure security are doing the right job at the door. Go and make sure the door price is correct, and go and monitor your tills.
Yeah, it's one of them where you have to bite your tongue a little bit, isn't it?
Leave the music to the specialist, you prick. But yeah, on the outside, it's like, yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll get to that. That's fine. I'll get there, mate. Yeah, don't worry. I acknowledge the fact that you're the reason I'm here every week, and if I piss you off, I probably won't be here next week. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's especially when there's no substance to what they're actually saying. Like, you can't just say, "Oh yeah, play something housey." Like, how am I gonna get to there from here? There's a flow to these things. You can't just be like, "Oh yeah, I'm playing trap." "Oh yeah, play something housey." All right, sweet. I'll tell you what then. To prove a point, I'm just going to press stop and play a house song and see what happens in the crowd.
I play one of the intros that starts with like
from
a
the start,
400
where
bar,
there's like 60 minutes of fuds.
No,
and then the hi-hat, and then the hi-hat comes in.
and then the clap. every 32 bars, one more instrument's added. And 5 minutes later, the actual piano starts coming in. Meanwhile, everyone else has gone to the other room where they're playing actual music that they want to listen to.
Bro, do you know, I've got to say it whilst we're here, yeah? Have you ever been in a dance, right, where you're playing a song, yeah? And everyone's begging a wheel up, but you played the intro edit. And then you have to, but
no,
then you're like,
you know what?
But then you have to go in your library so quick and find the non-intro version and run it from the top. Because if you wheel it, you ain't playing 16 bar. You know, you can't win a 16 bar intro. If you've got a host or whatever, you might get away with it kind of thing. But it's like them awkward situations, or you press the cue point by accident and it's gone back to the start of a 16 bar loop right at the start of the track.
I did that the other day. I accidentally hit the, what song was it as well? It was a big tune too. And I can't remember, but it was literally like, as I was mixing, and then I hit the wrong cue button and it jumped back to the start of an intro edit. But the pull-up, I have a solution for the pull-ups one. If you do run the intro edits, in your crate, always have the original next to it, just in case.
Okay, I hear that.
I always, like, all the tunes that I know are big, big ones that either I might pull it up myself just because I gas myself and I'm going to pull it up, or... I know they get pull-up requests. I always, if I use the intro edit, I always have the original next to it in the crate, because then it's just there and you just know.
Man's prepared, you know. I've definitely had a few sticky ones. Man, like, wheel up, and I'm thinking, yo, let me find the original quick. Lucky man can type fast, yo. Oh my days. Sticky ones. Sticky, yicky.
Along with the vibe killers, I think this kind of goes hand in hand. The post-COVID raver entitlement. I can't remember. Someone actually sent us this topic to talk about. I can't remember who it was. I think it came via Twitter.
I read this, and I'm not sure it's even a post-COVID. It's definitely, I think post-COVID worsened it. I think the raver entitlement was already there before it a little bit. In regards to these current conversations I'm having now, that's a form of raver entitlement. It's about play my fucking song right now, or I'm getting off, or I'm going to stand there and stare you down and give you evils. It's like, I feel like now it's just got worse, bro. It's got worse in it.
It's weird. Maybe because the type of sets that I've been doing have changed. But I feel like it's got better. I don't feel like it has definitely got better for me since before COVID. Before COVID, and again, this is probably most likely because I'm doing less residencies and I'm doing more guest sets. So I'm DJing for a shorter period and I'm DJing in newer places, you know what I mean? Yeah. Rather than the same place for every week doing like 4 or 5 hour sets. That's probably it. But yeah.
You kind of get to escape it, innit, with the guest sets. You do kind of get to get away with it then because you're doing your hour.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the other thing as well, like I had this on Sunday night up in Hull. The club have bouncers by the DJ box. Like I don't need a bouncer by the DJ box. I'm cool.
Oh, snap.
But they put one there anyway, and it's like, okay, cool. Like, this is quite nice. And he was like the last line of defense against the Karens and the requesters.
The last line of defense.
Yeah. first line of defense, really. The last line of defense is my taser. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't really experience too much, but I do see it. I do see it. In a
I think
sense
it depends
that, like,
where you play, brother, innit? It depends where you play. It really is down to the venue and the type of crowd that you're dealing with. Like, if you've got a good musical crowd, like a lot of these ravers will allow you to... They'll roll with the vibes, bro. Mm. Like, these, like the proper musical crowds, they'll roll with it and allow you to take them on a journey. But then you get people that... It's mainly the people that don't really get that side of it. Like, coming out and having a collective vibe with amongst people... Like, some people are coming out to enjoy for themselves, and it's about them and it's about me. And I want to hear my favorite song in my element with my people. Like, instead of coming out and just embracing the energy in the room and be willing to go on that journey, innit? It's a stinky one. Yeah, I think it's worsened. I've managed to avoid it. It's not been as sticky for me just because of the venues that I play at. I get a couple here and there. But I can only imagine like student nights and shit, and then like the Karens are multiplying by the day. I think with student nights, especially with the youngers coming through now that have only just started going out and kind of missed going out through COVID and stuff, and then you've got TikTok and stuff. These people are coming out programmed different, yo.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's the programming.
Mm-hmm.
The programming is crazy, bro. Like
people are living off 30-second snippets, bro. Like... People are living off 30-second snippets online, and like that's what, and they want to come in the club and hear that 30-second snippet. It's actually brainwashing people.
Even like one of the most requested songs I'd say at the moment is it Coyle Roy Players?
Yeah, Coyle Ray.
Coyle
Roy.
Coyle Roy.
Coyle Corduroy.
Corduroy.
Like the material.
Coyle Ray. Hang on, no, I swear it's Coyle Roy.
It's Coyle Ray, man.
Then you know what's happened is I've once spelled
Coyle Roy.
That means I've spelled it accidentally. Spelled it wrong accidentally one time in my Serato, and now every time I've just written it like that. Yeah, it's Coyle Ray. I've never heard her name said out loud. So anyway. That's part that's going to get chopped out.
Leroy.
Coy, Leroy. Coy Leray. Thanks for that.
Sorry, mate.
Coy Leray Players. 30 seconds into the song.
Yeah.
Flat.
Yeah, catch another flight. Over.
Yeah, no. No one.
It got the hype, and I played that a couple of times. I played a Buster version in it. Mm. I don't play the original. Another one with your put your hands on my eyes can see that one. Have you heard that one?
No, but have you heard the dancehall tune? This takes us back to the first topic. That's the new big one. I can't even remember what it's called.
Nah, the Coi Leray one got remixed with the Busta beat, bro, and went mega viral. Mega viral. Yeah, so it's that. Girls, it's Players 2 over the Busta beat. But then the dancehall ones come after that, and now that beat is now circulating heavy, man.
That's like, sick, because...
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the original, like, sickest hip-hop beats from back in... Oh, my days. That beat is doesn't... still knocks.
We Are Running Grung.
Oh, yeah. That one. Yeah, the one everyone's doing the dance. Everyone's doing the dance and that, innit?
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what? Shout out to Ramel London. You know Ramel?
Yeah.
She did a sick one on Instagram the other day. Yeah, she absolutely killed it with her dance.
I've not even seen that.
I don't really check out all the TikTok dances and stuff, but hers came up on my feed. And yeah, she had a different type of sauce on it. It was actually sick. It was one of the ones that made me want to do one.
Oh my days. Right, that's your challenge today, Dubs. I dare you. I dare you to do that's today's talk over challenge.
I mean, I've got the night off, so.
I've got the night off, so I'm gonna make a TikTok dance routine. So, embrace the dances. The dance is actually pretty hard, still.
Bro, I am such a stiff dancer. It's disgusting.
Wow.
Honestly, I'm. Yeah.
There's a lot of stiff dancing DJs, isn't it?
And that's not even
a cussing thing, because like we're musically like on it, like, and most DJs are. But it's like when it comes to dancing.
But here's the mad thing. I've got rhythm, yeah.
In your foot bottom.
I've got rhythm. And if I'm behind the decks, I will do the most. Like, I don't care. I'll be busting dance moves. Like, my arms are going everywhere. My feet are...
Yeah, I've seen you busting skanks in the booth before.
Exactly. And literally, as cliche as it sounds, the music takes over, bruv. But as long as I'm in the safety of behind the decks...
I hear that.
Take those decks away and put me on the dance floor in a club. Bruv, my back's on the wall. I don't stand in the middle of the dance floor. My back is to the wall and I am stiff. I'm not dancing. Even when I'm drunk. Maybe when I'm drunk, I do bust a little skank, but...
That's kind of like guitarists, isn't it? Like when you see like people going on X Factor and they come out with a guitar and it's like their safety blanket. And then they'll always say to them like, oh yeah, well let's take the guitar away and like what have we got left? You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like a lot of the artists have that as like their, yeah, it's like it's a safety blanket
it's
for a minute.
Barrier.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like mine. Honestly, it's the decks. Like I say, behind the decks, bro, I'm busting every dance. But take those decks away, exact same situation, but without the decks, stiff.
Oh, right. I'm always dancing when I'm out, but if I'm not a DJ, I don't care about that stuff, me. I was that guy back in the day. I remember when I first started going out, yeah, and Rock Your Body had just dropped. Justin Timberlake. I thought I was JT in the dance, mate. White pants on and that. Man was a washed up you, bro.
It's funny you mentioned that. I actually had this conversation the other day. When Like I Love You came out.
What, JT?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the video.
That year, woo! when it was one of the biggest songs, mm-hmm. it was really big around my birthday. And I got really smashed. For going out for my birthday, I got absolutely wrecked. And I've got short flashbacks of dancing, but like, bro, I thought I was MJ in the middle of a packed club as well. I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure it got to one of those moments where people made the circle.
Oh my God.
Not in a good way either.
Double was up and you got served for a hot minute.
Luckily, this was before social media was a thing, because that 1,000,000,000% would have gone viral.
Oh my God. That would
have been me for life. That would have been like DJ Double.
You could have ended up being a B-boy or something, bro. You look like one now with that hat and that hoodie up.
Yeah, you know, don't judge me. I tell you what, with the podcast, yeah, you can always tell when I haven't been to the barber for 2 weeks, because I will wear a beanie.
Wow.
It's the signal for beanie and hood for when I haven't been to the barber. But yeah, if social media and like cameras and that on the dance floor was such a common thing then when I did this, that would have been me. I'd have been the Justin Timberlake dance guy. And that would have literally just been my reputation. Who's DJ Double? You know, that guy, the dancing one.
The guy.
Oh, the yeah, DJ. That guy.
Man will become a gimmick.
Literally, that would have been my career, bruv. I would have got booked to do all of the big clubs in the country to do my little dance. Like that Ferdy coming fast guy. But what's the other one? The guy is selling Prime.
Don't go anywhere. That's what he said.
No, no, no. Did you see the latest one? The guy is selling Prime. Like 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah.
The guy from his shop from the wine store in Birmingham.
Where? What's the best shop in Wakey?
Yeah.
He was Wakey Wines.
Let's not endorse him.
I'm not endorsing that.
Let's not give him more marketing. But he was doing club appearances, bruv.
I think that's exactly what's wrong with the world today, man. Like a little bit of like social media clout and people are jumping on you. But it's the same with the music industry.
It's weird. So
people get a little viral hit or whatever and the labels jump on them, rinse them, spit them back out. Like it's an actual problem, man. Like,
it is weird.
Bring back unearthing and finding real artists, man. Bring back serious A&Rs. Like
artist development.
Get me? I remember when A&Rs used to unearth gems and that, like, that's not the game we're in no more. And that's because social media and all this stuff has accelerated it. And everyone's looking at numbers and quick flips and where the money can be generated instead of, like, sometimes back in the day, they would take chances on newer artists and stuff like that, man. Like, even before Craig David, when he dropped his debut, like, he's obviously talented and skilled, but he came out of nowhere, bro. Like, people got to be able to find it. There's so many sick artists on the ground that just ain't getting the breakthroughs for whatever, whether it's a numbers thing or whatever, or they ain't got the social media clout, or they don't want to, like, they're not willing to throw the investment into them to build them. Like, now you've got to go to these labels, like, 70, 80% built and ready to go, and then they'll just give you the 20% boost, put you on, and suck you dry.
This is
not always in that case, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I know so many stories of artists that have been fiddled, and it's not worth. Like, you know, yeah, it's a sticky one. The industry, bro.
It's a very general statement, but I feel like a lot of the most talented. I'm talking like across the board. A lot of the most talented musicians are developing themselves independently now, mm-hmm. and a lot of the mainstream label artists, again, not all of them, but a lot of the mainstream label artists are flashes in the pan.
Yeah,
literally just for the label to, what can we cash in on this month?
Shoot,
let's do that. Boom, cool. Cycle them in, chuck them out, put them on a little festival circuit this year with no experience whatsoever. And
it's kind of like when they're throwing Rams in.
He
came through with Barking banger, by the way. It was a banger, you can't deny it. Everyone was playing it, like, took over the country. I don't know whether I think it charted quite high. I can't remember where it went, but...
yeah. I think it did all the charting stuff.
And then chucking him into, was it the Jingle Bell Ball? One of the big shows at Wembley with zero,
one of the big stadium shows
with zero stage experience, and like. Bobby got swallowed up, man.
Yeah.
You got swallowed up, bro. And like, that's what this industry can do to you. You really got to be careful. Like, hey, you got to have the right people around you, like, that have got your interests at heart. And yeah, there's so many more factors into it. But yeah, the industry can be
tech. In that instance as well, I feel like it's not just the label's fault. To be honest,
100%. In that situation, it definitely wasn't.
Have even had any involvement, but his management as well are at fault for that, because it's like, okay, cool, we've got a stadium show coming up, get him ready for it. Do you know what I mean? And I think, like, there was technical difficulties as well. His in-ears weren't working. And trust me, I know this from experience now, with working in-ears, the middle of that stadium, the slap back of music is mad.
Bro, it's awful.
Like, the acoustics are fucked.
Awful.
When I did it last year, I could hear three versions of the song pretty much a second behind each other.
Yeah, it's a skill, that, isn't it, man? Like, especially if you're trying to do any, especially for DJs, if you're trying to mix. But I remember the Beyonce thing, and that shit was like, that's the first time I'd ever experienced that ever.
Yeah.
In like a stadium environment. I was thinking, you want me to mix now?
Well, luckily, I didn't have to mix. I wasn't doing a DJ set. I was just doing the performance with RD. My only role was literally backing RD's vocals up, but not even really doing that, because it was only two songs. So RD pretty much did those shows basically by himself, and I did back him on a couple of bits. But it was really difficult because, yeah, I'm hearing three versions of the song and having to stay on time with the correct version, which was obviously the first one that I'm hearing. Because if I went off, RD can hear me in his ears as well.
Oh, right, okay.
So he can hear at least two versions of the song because he hears the live one and then he hears the slapback one. And he can hear my vocals as well. So if I'm out of time, it's going
to
throw him
You've
off.
Got to try and completely like cut off that outside sound from your in-ears, innit? And just focus on on the in-ear piece. Like, I'm not sure if... I think we may be using in-ears for the Meek shows, yes. And I've never used them before. So this is going to be hella interesting.
Yeah, it's an experience, mate. When you make the changeover and you start doing live shows with in-ears, it is different. Oh, I like it. No, I'm used to it. But
yeah, I'm not looking forward to that, mate. You've not sold that to me one bit. Yo, also you bumped into somebody this week, innit?
Well, actually, somebody bumped into me.
You got a little story to tell us.
I was a little bit gassed at this moment, yeah. So I'm DJing. I was DJing in Nike Town earlier in the week.
Nike boy.
And that was so unnecessary.
Because we don't even have a Nike store up here, bro. It's wounding, man. I'm just jealous.
I was doing my set, and a guy taps me on the shoulder, and he says, "Oh, DJ Double." He goes, "How you doing?" "I'm Nick. I work for Serato in New Zealand." And then there was another guy with him who also shook my hand, but didn't introduce himself. And anyway, they were just chatting. And so Nick said to me, he goes, "Oh, yeah, I saw the podcast clip with you and Stylus. It went round the office when you were talking about stems."
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sick. In my head,
was you thinking deep down, this guy's chatting shit, yo? Imagine if you buyed him, though, because you thought he was just some gas man.
Yeah, be like, the fuck do you want? No, imagine. No, I'm not like that especially in the store as well. Sometimes people are just asking, like, what floor are the kids' shoes and stuff like that. And it's like, obviously, I'm in Nike, so I'm never rude to people. But no, it was super cool, man. It caught me very off guard. And actually, afterwards, like, so anyway, we were chatting and he was like, "Oh yeah, the clip of you and Stylus talking about stems went round the office. Like, we all enjoyed that." Da, da, da. And I'm thinking, yeah, sick. That's like dope. The guys in Serato, they're even tuned into the podcast now as well. So anyway, I'm obviously in the middle of a DJ set. So I chatted to him for a couple of minutes. And hopefully he's going to come on the podcast at some point. But yeah, the thing is, once they had gone, it actually occurred to me. I thought, oh shit, I hope they don't judge me for this. Because in Nike Town, it's a 5-hour set. It's a long set. And obviously, there's no active dance floor. So basically, the only rule is don't play explicit music. Like, the music has to be clean.
All clean, okay.
That's the only rule. So I can go any direction. Doesn't even have to be current. I can play 5 hours of old school hip hop if I wanted to. I could play 5 hours of R&B, or mix it up, or do whatever, literally whatever I like. So anyway, I can't remember what song I was playing, but it was a song I wanted to listen to. So I let the whole 4 minutes of the song run. And while it was, again, because it's a shop, it's not even a problem. Like, it doesn't, no one's there like, "Oh, can you change to the next song?" Like, no one cares. Like, it's not, do you know what I mean? They don't get aggy about the fact the song's on for long. As I was doing it, I was actually replying to a WhatsApp, or I think a DM actually on Instagram. I was replying to an Instagram message, pushed send, and then came back onto my homepage just before I closed it. And there was a video which caught my attention. And that was when I got a tap on the shoulder from Nick. And then afterwards, I thought about it. I thought, oh shit, I hope he doesn't think like, I hope they didn't judge me, just sat there like looking, it just looked like I was just on my phone.
Sat there doing nothing, some dry DJ.
Doing nothing, watching Instagram videos, when actually like it was just a momentary thing. But yeah, anyway, so I met Nick from Serato, and then Blakey messaged me about 10 minutes later. He said, "Oh, I heard you just run into the Serato guys." And I was like, yeah. And he goes, "Oh, so it was Nick." I was like, yeah. He goes, "Was anyone else with him?" And so I remembered the second guy who kind of just shook my hand and then kept it moving. I was like, yeah, there was another guy. And he goes, "Yeah, that's the CEO of Serato."
Wow.
I was like, wow. Oh, man. Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is crazy, bro. So that man, they're from New Zealand, isn't it?
Yeah. He flew over from New Zealand. So they actually were flying back the next day. Otherwise, I would have tried to get him on this week's podcast. Yeah, but they were actually flying straight back.
The vibes are spreading, and that's why we are the number one DJ podcast in the UK.
There you go. The Serato endorsed.
To be fair, whilst we're here, actually, we got a big up Blakey for actually coming on. Like, we
that
had
was
one
a good episode, actually.
Yeah, it was really a great episode, man. Like, if anyone's not listened to that yet, go check it out. We did have Blakey from Serato on. He deals with all the UK relations and everything down in London.
And for all the DJs as well that use Serato, if you ever have a problem, Blakey is like the 24-hour hotline for Serato. I had an issue the other day. The CDJs were not inputting into Serato. It was horrible. And I think it was literally like 1 a.m. or something. I was messaged Blakey, like, to try and troubleshoot. And
he fixes it, man.
He helped. I mean, we didn't actually fix the problem, unfortunately. We didn't get to the bottom of it. But he answered.
He's like the good Samaritan of the DJ world, man. Like, you see that DJ group, we're in, like, literally, he gets pelters, like, 15 times a week from people with issues, and he's just there, like, hand on deck, man, ready to solve problems, man. So, yo, big up, Blakey. Go check out the episode. I think we recorded that in lockdown, man. That was when we were out here, savage mode, unshaven, messed up hairdos, like, making it work.
I was
looking
back at some of the videos from lockdown the other day. Awful. Why was I on camera looking like that?
Oh, you was out there looking like Aquaman on some of them.
This is like Aquaman who'd been stranded on an island forever. Anyway, sorry, just very quickly. So just to finish off the Nighttown story, yeah. So anyway, I thought once they'd left, I thought like, oh shit, I hope they're not going to judge me for literally just being on my phone when they turned up. But an hour later, I was DJing and I was in my girly R&B bag at this point. So I was playing like a Rihanna tune. I think it was like Wild Thoughts or something like that. Obviously a little bit commercial. And then Skinny Man walks into Nike.
Oh my God. What? The Skinny Man?
Skinny Man walks into Nike. He actually came straight over. He came straight over to me. And he like, we've met a few times in the past. So he came up to me, like, spotted me, said his thing, and then carried on. And in my head, I thought, of all the music I could have been playing, I was playing Rihanna, Wild Thoughts, when Skinny Man walked in. I thought, imagine, like, and annoyingly, yeah, I was even playing UK hip hop like half an hour before that. I was running like Kalashnikov Before You Die. Literally, like, Kalashnikov Before You Die is a proper UK rap, like, hip hop record. If he'd walked in when I was playing that, bro, sick. But yeah, he missed that part. And then,
you must meet some people in Nighttown in London, innit? There must be some right faces passing through there in Central.
There's some interesting characters.
Because I'll see, like, dance-offs just, like, popping off out of nowhere. And yeah. I was watching someone's story the other day. Who, I can't remember who it was. Someone posted something. It might have been Shorty Blitz. Does Shorty Blitz play in Nighttown?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that America Foster presenter coming, and then there's, like, 20-odd people just busting a little flipping dance-off right in the middle of the floor.
America's sick, you know. I actually met her for the first time in Nighttown, because she used to do security there before she was a presenter. That's where I met her in Nighttown, when she was doing security.
She's a nutcase in a good way, though.
She's vibes, bro. I think she's so sick.
I met her with you backstage at Park Life. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny times, because then you introduced me and then you ran off to talk to someone else, and I was just stood there talking to her. I was like, okay. Yeah. This is random.
Yeah, she's sick. But no, dance-offs, there was a kid last time I was there, time before last, sorry. He was probably like 6 or 7, maybe 8 maximum, come in with his parents, and he was like proper body popping, but like sick. And his dad was there filming him, and he was just there, just like doing all the arm stuff and the foot stuff, and
it's a place to flex, man. I love that, though. Like, I wish Manchester had a store where you could go in and do that. If you was doing that in Manny, bro, security kicking you out. They're kicking you out, bro. You're an eyesore. You're up in there causing a disturbance. You're gone.
Even security dance. Big up Michael, the security guy. Big up the other security guys. Yeah, but Michael's the vibes, one, man. Actually, I know by name, because he's there. He's just good vibes, bro. Always smiling, always dancing. Sick.
Yeah, that's the vibes. Yeah. I'm jealous. We might get a Nike if you're listening. Can we get a Nighttown up here, please? Come on, Manchester's evolving, man. We're moving quick. Give us a goddamn store, yo. we've got like one of them outlets. You know, the shabby ones where they send all the shit trainers to that don't get sold, where you can get them cheap.
You get the ones from London, they send them up to Manchester.
Yeah, we get the crumbs, man. We're getting the leftovers. even the Adidas store here is just macabre.
Say that again.
Even the Adidas store here is just
Adidas.
Yeah, Adidas, Adidas. It's Adidas, man.
Adidas.
No, I'm not American.
Adidas.
No. Nah. Well, like Coy Leroy. Go away, man.
Fair play.
We're turning today into an English lesson. Actually, yeah, I don't even know. Anyway, let's not go. Anyway, let's go back to Mavado, man. I was enjoying that conversation.
Right.
Have we got anything else? I've had a few topics sent in to cover today. We're probably not going to get to cover them in this episode, but we'll definitely save them for future. Fusion sent one and said, Molly May's baby. This guy's not well. We're definitely not talking about that.
Who the fuck is Molly May?
Oh my God. Yeah. Double doesn't watch normal television or get involved in like public ongoing. So he doesn't know.
Is she? All right. So just answer
me. She's with Tommy Fiori. She was on Love Island. She's an influencer. She has like deals with like PLT all that.
I have a problem with
super
this.
Famous.
So basically, so she's super famous.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, of all her credentials, yeah, she's Tyson Fury's sister-in-law.
yeah, it's random.
That is, yeah, I don't care. What? Who sent that in? Fusion.
Yeah, but he's on such a wind-up, man. He's on a wind-up.
Shut up, Fusion. Talk about Tommy Fury and Logan Paul.
We need to get
a more interesting conversation.
We had one from Chris Vibes as well, and he said to talk about diversity in DJing. We can definitely cover this on a future episode.
Oh yeah, that's not a throwaway topic. That's
yeah. Our female DJs experiencing favoritism in 2023, or are they disadvantaged? Are female DJs experiencing favoritism in 2023, or are they disadvantaged by male-dominated history?
Well,
I recognize how this can come across from two guys on a podcast. So yeah, guys, trying to suck us under. He's setting us up, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, rascal. We got another one as well, but it was the attention of younger crowds with TikTok and that. So we've semi-covered that.
So check that episode out. It's called The TikTok Takeover. We did it like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think. That does talk about the attention span of the younger crowds.
Yeah. I think that pretty much wraps up today, brother, you know?
I think it does. There was one question, actually.
Yeah, I'm not ready to answer it because I actually don't know. I feel like I need to think. Is this the one about the set?
The dream set. Simon from Brazil.
Oh, Simon from... Oh, big up Simon, you know. Original early listener.
Man like Simon, all the way out in Brazil.
This guy listens to us walking on the beach in Rio and that, you know. I'm fucking jealous, bro.
Love that.
This guy gets it in.
He wanted to know what the dream set is.
Dream set would be... scenario or does it need to be like, do we need to pick something?
Not one that you've done. A dream set, like any scenario, anything. Could be a fucking... tech house rave on Mars, if you wanted it to be.
a dream gig would be like, I don't know if you ever seen that video of Jazzy Jeff that went viral and he's like in someone's back. It looks like it's in a back garden. He's on turntables. I think he's like scratching like Mary J's Real Love, the Biggie remix. And everyone's got red cups. The turntables are right in the middle of everyone. People are literally on him, around him, but everyone's being respectful and you're not dashing shit at him. You know what I mean? It's like one of them crowds where it's cool and everyone is just on vibes, sing-alongs, like just no negative energy. Like just something so simple like that are my like dream sets, bro. Where the crowd is just...
How many people?
It was very busy, bro.
In your set, how many people? And you've got to be specific numbers wise. Very busy could be 300.
I need to find the video for the clip. 80,000 people is lit, yeah. But I just feel like the smaller crowds where you can feel that, like, you can feel energy in 80,000 capacity crowd, obviously, but you feel it in a different way.
There's definitely a sweet spot because, like, for me. This is gonna sound like a brag, but I have to put it all in context. For me, like, I've performed to 80,000 people, and as breathtaking as it was, it wasn't my favorite moment.
Yeah,
ever.
But it's
you know what I mean? Like it was. Don't get me wrong. Like it was incredible.
I hear.
Like it was powerful, but yeah, it wasn't. Given the choice, I wouldn't say. My dream scenario would have 80,000 people there. Like,
I'd be more like 800.
Bruv, 300. 300 people in the right venue with the right mentality and the right, yeah, sound system, just on vibes. That is the best feeling.
It is. That's we're not asking for much, are we? When we're saying our dream set, so like 300 to 500 people, but everyone is just on smoky vibes, bro.
Yeah, and like, I tell you what, if we're turning it into like an actual dream set, it's going to be an outdoor venue,
100%, sun shining.
With the sun shining,
red cups.
But you know what? It's sunset time, so it's not just daylight the whole time. Like, yeah, it's going to be nighttime during the party.
Like that orange dusky warmness.
Yeah, and it's going to be it's somewhere hot as well, so that as the night creeps in and it gets dark, no one's cold and they're not going home. Like, everyone's just staying with what they're wearing because it's still hot, and it's just vibes. Everyone's drinking, having fun.
You can bump into a next man and they're not going to knock you out. It's like, oh yeah, sorry, bro. Oh yeah, boom. Everyone's just loving each other, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what, like,
energy. Not standing on man's crep in the dance and you get jucked. Like...
Yeah, no knives. There's no knives allowed in my dream party. But there's no security either because everyone's just vibes.
Wow.
Yeah, Technics. I'm using Technics and a decent mixer. Sound system is perfect.
Yeah.
It's just nicely dressed, nice people everywhere.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because if you said to a new DJ coming through, they would be like, 100,000 people, stadium, Coachella. Or like, they'd pick something crazy. But like, over the years of playing, you soon realize like the value is there, and as sick as them sets are, but you just want the vibey people in the right spot, the right energy, and like, that is enough. Yeah. That is enough for me. That's all I ask for.
But the thing is, when I say 300 people, the space that we would all be in would be like a decent 300 people space. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be 300 people at Wembley Stadium.
Amanda stood in a little huddle. In the middle, just 300 man. That means it's the end of the podcast.
That means that battery dying marks the end of the pod. And that's my last battery as well.
Nah, it's all good. We're done anyway, man. So the dream set, that's it, bro. That's it, man. That's all I asked for. I'm even going to find a clip of that, the Jazzy Jeff thing I was talking about, because like, that is what I picture in my head.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to dig it out. I'll send it to you, bro. But yeah, man. Dope episode, mate.
Cool.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Talk over pod, stylus and double, stylo and double. And this is what we do. We're available on all DSPs. So no matter how you stream your podcast, no matter how you listen, no matter what you listen on, you can find us. So make sure you follow, subscribe. And if you actually have the time, leave us a good review somewhere as well, because the ratings push us further up into other people's visibility, which actually helps spread the podcast. So yeah, follow us on all the socials, follow us and subscribe on whatever platform you love to listen to your podcasts on. And we will be back again next week. It is the number one DJ podcast in the UK and Finland.